I mean, over the years, it's been fascinating to me. People are like, I'm sorry we missed the healing meeting. I wasn't feeling so good. There could be two different problems with that. Either the advertised healing meeting doesn't have miracles, or, well, the problem is with them. There's two different scenarios there, but just fascinating to me. Sorry we missed the miracle meeting. We weren't feeling well. Make a few statements here. A life goal should be to make fellowship with God an established habit. Habits are really healthy, and self-discipline is really important on the life in God. Habit is an acquired pattern of behavior that has become almost involuntary as a result of frequent repetition. I've given this analogy before, but you know, when you walk with the Lord, one of the things he wants you to do is to learn how to think correctly. Good analogy is like when you learn how to drive a car, you know. I remember the guy, first time he picked me up, he's like, check both mirrors, check your blind spots. And so like, it's like you're going through the checklist in your mind, you know, like doing all these things, and you know, like you learn how to drive and don't go too fast. You know, you take it of all these things. And now, years later, right, you're driving, you're still doing all those things, but you've done it so often that you're not going through the checklist in your life anymore. It just becomes a routine part of your life, that though you have the power of choice, it has become integrated in your thought process, that you're not thinking of the parts of how you do it. A life of fellowship should be intentional, consistent, and persistent. Intentional is done with purpose. Consistent. The great, I'll remember this for eternity. I'm going to thank her. What God said to Gloria Copeland, inconsistency lies the power. You know, and in this walk with the Lord, it's not like, you know, I'll tell you about a few experiences here. This didn't happen. These sort of open heaven type of things didn't necessarily happen those first few years. I'll tell you what really upgraded my life of fellowship with the Lord. Here's another one. Get around people who are walking with the Lord. You know, like, there's a profound difference, and I can sense it, in someone who's got a nice message. It may not be this systematic thing, and then somebody... a nice message that's very systematic, it's nice, and you go, oh, that was nice. That was nice. Praise the Lord, that was nice. And then this person who's going like eight different ways, but you're hearing God in what they're saying. One time I was in this school of ministry, like, can you give a little instruction on how to tell these guys how to develop a message? I said, yes. Let's go to the prayer room for an hour. Stay there until you know what God has told you to tell the people. Very simplistic. Some people call that old school. I call it Bible. But I summer of 97, I was, someone had given me a, this goes back a while, right? VHS tape from the Brownsville Revival. I remember watching this VHS, and it was like 40 minutes. And I must have watched it 20 times at least the first day I had it. And I would just sit there weeping, watching. I don't know what this is, but this is awesome. And then somebody told me not, I think, said something derogatory about Benny Hinn. I didn't even know who he was. So as soon as they said something derogatory, that meant to me, go watch it. And I would sit on Sunday nights often, and I would just weep as I could feel the presence of the Lord. Holy Spirit, thou art well, quietly now choir. Touch every life, I pray. Anyway, back to Brownsville. So I wanted to go to Brownsville. And so I looked, and they were having conferences. It was the height of the revival. Had these conferences, and every week was a different conference. So the reason I picked this week was because it was Dr. Michael Brown speaking that week and Suzette Hadding. And I like Michael Brown. Read a lot of his books, great books. Actually, his book, Let No One Deceive You, is one of the great defenses of revival. He also wrote a book in 2011, which is extremely prophetic for, and I encourage you to go back and read if you've never read, a very scholarly book called A Queer Thing Happened in America. And it prophesies almost everything taking place right now in America. He's got two chapters in the book is There Is No Gay Agenda. Because 12 years ago, they were telling us, there's no agenda. There's no agenda. We don't have an agenda. We just want to love everybody. What a perverse distortion of God's best. I'll leave that at that. So, I got quiet with some of you with that, but I'm right. I picked the week Suzette Hadding was there because I knew that she was Reinhard Bonnke's intercessor, I think, for 20 years. So I was like, I know that lady talks to God for hours. I want to hear the lady that talks to God for hours. Yeah. So in her South African accent, I remember, I was there all week. It was awesome. There's still a picture, actually, of me getting prayed for years ago on one of the websites for Brownsville. And I don't know if it's still up. I saw it about a year and a half ago. And she says in her South African accent, she said, the majority of my time with the Lord is spent in worship. I said, what did she just say? I remember I had a little white paper. Worship. Worship. I didn't know you could combine the two. I know nobody was teaching me this stuff. So I bought. I probably had $600 to my name. But I spent every dollar I had on every live worship tape there was in existence at that time. And I had this big boom box. Back in the day, and I'd hit play, then I'd flip it over to the other side and hit play, and I just learned, even to this day, most of my time with the Lord is in worship. And I have lots of questions, always, with the Lord, but there's many times I say, if you have anything to tell me, you can tell me, but I'm not asking questions today, I'm just here to worship who you are. Over the years, I've had some very beautiful encounters with the Lord. Your life of fellowship is supposed to have encounter after encounter after encounter after encounter after encounter, 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 after encounter. And what I've learned with encounters is one encounter drops a seed on the inside of you for a greater encounter. And I've learned as you feed yourself with the presence of God, your body actually can begin to hunger for the things of the Lord. Your flesh is not bad. Your flesh just needs to be taught what to do. David said, my heart and my flesh in the old covenant cry out for you, the living God. You are not led by feelings. You're led by the Spirit. But the reason a sanctified heart is, he says, guard your heart. Notice the language there. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. So everything's connected to your heart. That's why walking righteously is so important. Probably one of the most common things you will see with people who are very much called to be seers or Davids and stuff, often they will be challenged with pornography and different things. Why? If you got your, here's an important life principle. Your body was not meant to have two different appetites. I'll try over here. Your body was not meant to have two different appetites. So the reason and the necessity of inner healing and deliverance is you need to get delivered of those things. If not, even as a born again, love Jesus, speak in tongues person, if those things are filling your mind, it will be difficult to operate in a seer anointing that God has for you. Keep this in mind too. The enemy can only distort, it cannot create. So it will distort every good thing that God created. So your mind was meant to be this projection screen to see and to look into the unseen realm, to be able to legislate from the to take what is the unseen and bring it to the seen. So what does he do? He fills a whole generation with these images. He clouds them. He distorts them. He distorts sexual intimacy. He distorts all these things. These are not new issues. One of the marks of the early church, one of the marks that they knew that they were believers, that they were followers of Yeshua, was sexual fidelity. It was such an immoral culture. Men with men, orgies constantly. They go, oh, there's something different about these people. They don't have sex with people they're married to. No, really, that was one of the reasons that they were known. They were known for that. They're giving to the poor, and they were talking about this thing called the kingdom. That's why the Jews who did not accept Jesus persecuted so badly. They were afraid they were going to be associated with these new Jews talking about a kingdom, and they would lose their political power. So your body was not meant to have two different appetites, but as you put, you're not led. This is a very part of the prophetic, because some people hear, some people see, and some people feel. So you're not led by your emotions, but a sanctified emotions is able to discern the movings of the Lord. The writer of Hebrews said when your senses, he's talking about physical senses, when they are fully trained. How do you fully train? You learn to live this life of purity and guardedness. I'm shocked at what some believers tell me they watch. Like, oh, this is a really good movie. And like 2 minutes into it, there's nudity, there's profanity. I'm like, Lord. And it used to be, don't do that. Now it's like, I cannot put this in my heart and go where God wants me to go. So guard those things. Don't go from listening instruction and good instruction and then listen to every craziness that's going on in the world. I'm not mature enough to watch most news. I am. I just know. It's like, I can't listen to that. It takes me 20 minutes to repent. I want to throw stuff at the TV. And it's just like, this is not healthy for me. And they're all lying anyway. You know. So like, I just know what you're mature enough to hear. I listen to some news at times, but I can't take a regular dose of it because I'm working on something. I'm working on producing the things that God has spoken to me. And if I get things in my heart that were never meant to be there, it will prove another obstacle. So I want to produce fruit as quickly as possible. So guard your heart. Present your body a living. If you've made mistakes, no shame, no blame. But just realize you are the gatekeeper of your heart. You're the one who determines what comes in and out. I was, how much time? Well, got about 10 minutes left. Want to share a few encounters I've had with the Lord. June of 2013, I went to Africa for the first time. And as we often do, it's focused on leaders. And there was another speaker in the conference. And he was sharing these stories. He was very close with Bob Jones. So we were having these, like, I'd hook up with him for breakfast and dinner. We'd sit together and he would just tell me all these stories of God moving. He was also in the Vineyard movement for many years. So he had all these interesting stories, but particularly the Bob Jones story stirred me because he's talking about all these different encounters that Bob had had and these kind of in and out type of experiences in the things of the Lord. And so it stirred me again. I said, I'm hungry. So I start praying. Again, stirred me again. Another stirring. To just know God. And grab everything he had for me. So I'm praying, Lord, I want more. I like to experience more. I know there's something more. You're stirring me again. Go home. Still praying the same. You know, like it's just stirring. I feel it every time I'm hanging out. Though, there's a stirring again. There's more. You know, then I got a little self-introspective. You know, Lord, I do anything right. I just know there's more. And the reason I'm telling you this is because it's all connected with this weekend. Week after I got home, I'm in New Jersey preparing to minister at a meeting. It's a Saturday night. I'm in my parents' home because they live in New Jersey, in the home I grew up in. And I'm praying again. And Jesus comes into the room. And he says to me, you are worthy to receive. And he anointed my ears and my eyes. And I remember that night when I stood up, I was in like this little narrow building. The church met in this little narrow building. And it was like my eyes were open. I'd always discerned angels. I always heard and hear, but it was like I could discern but never see. And I saw them. I was thinking, can everyone see what I see? But not only that, I saw Jesus. And I've seen him since then, all the time. When I say Jesus is in the room, I'm not usually speaking by faith. And then I just, most of the time, I would always try and discern what God was doing in the room. So usually I don't go piece by piece or pray for people one by one. I'll go around, even if I pray for everyone. I just discern usually what the angels are doing. That week I went to Moldova for the first time. I'm in the middle of nowhere in this tent and I pray for people. And, you know, I always do my best. I'm all in. By the way, thank you for spending your Saturday. I don't take it lightly that you took your time. So I don't waste people's time. I look over. I'm like, God, I finished praying for people. Did I do my best, God? I look over and Jesus gives me a thumbs up. Because he opened my eyes. But I thought I knew how kind was. But when he came in that day, I experienced his goodness like never before. And how loving he is. Not only towards me, but to people. So a few years later. Years ago, I had this dialogue with the Lord, Dave. When I first started being in ministry, and I've never really been like into the title things. I believe it's very important to be able to recognize the office somebody stands in. It's kind of like Dr. John back there. I don't go to Dr. John as a medical doctor when I need my car fixed. Oh, yeah, no, it's important to know that. So I don't swing like the other way. If you just see your leader as a brother, that's what you'll receive from them, brotherhood. But if you're able to recognize and utilize who they are, then you'll receive the full extent of that. So I remember I first started, I think my first few years in ministry, I was, I said to the Lord, I said, what's this deal? People are introducing me now as a prophet. I said, you never told me I was a prophet. I said, in fact, I'm a little uncomfortable with that. You know, I wanted this like it is, John, right? I wanted the Benny Hinn thing. come. For in thy presence. Like, that's so cool. Knocking people down and stuff. Like, who doesn't want that? You know, that's awesome. You know, like, I didn't get that. Sometimes I feel like I have a Roto-Rooter ministry. You're unclogging stuff, you know. Yeah. Now I embrace it, you know. Embrace what God's called you to do. But, I, you know, if I had to pick, I might have done, you know. That, and that's too. That's true, too. You can... You should have ministries that you really connect with. You should have ministries that you identify with because they're given to you as a gift. But God doesn't want to make you like that person. It's one of the faults of discipleship. My goal is not to make other Abners. It's to make people like Jesus, in the image of Jesus, and what God has given me, let it add to their discipleship process. It's the goal of God. In fact, in Scripture, you never see a title preceding a person. It's always the person and then the title. You'll never see Nathan the prophet. It says, the prophet Nathan. You'll see Nathan the prophet. You'll never see the apostle Paul. It says Paul and then an apostle. Because discipleship and sonship always precede the office. So I have been praying this prayer. For years. God, I'd like you to... I like New Year's. By the way, we're doing another New Year's event in Martinsville. Please join us. It's going to be at New Day, Martinsville. And then New Year's Day, we're going to be worshiping and praying for 5 hours. What a way to start the year. We started about 3 years ago. It's beautiful. What are we going to do? Just worship. So, I'd asked the Lord to visit me for years. I said, I'd like you to visit me on New Year's. I want a significant visitation on New Year's. He hadn't done it. Yeah. So 2050. But anyway, finish that story about the prophet. He said, I've told you you're a prophet. I said, yeah, how have you told me? Through other people. And I began to learn. I said, well, why, you know, why that? And he began to teach me. He said, if you heard everything you needed to hear, just me and you, you would never value other people. It's a principle I've learned. Some people are like, Lord hasn't told me. Well, he's told you week after week through your pastor in those messages. So, okay, I'm a prophet. 2015, I'm in Spring Valley, California. It's a New Year's service. I was not having very spiritual thoughts because they did like this supper. I'd like to tell you the whole story. Because they did this food thing. And you could see the people are tired, and some of them, not that they were old, but they were older than me. And then the worship's going real long. And I'm thinking, I got this message from the Lord, you know, like, and I get this message. The Lord gave me a message for New Year's. I don't know how I'm going to get it out. So what I'm saying is I wasn't, you know, possibly didn't have a good attitude. Possibly. I'm on the front row. I still remember it. Jesus comes to me. He says, you are my prophet. And then he says, I'm going to hold you responsible for certain things. Yeah, it was woe. So I'm driving home or driving back to where I was staying. And I had this rental car. Always inquire of the Lord after encounters with him. Because it's so layered. It's not just what he said in that moment. I said, why did you come tonight like that? He goes, because I feel this. I never forget prayer requests. Final story. I thought I was seeing some things. This connects to getting your heart right. And let me just preface with this. I don't wake up every morning trying to figure out what's wrong with myself. But I do pray this prayer. Holy Spirit, you said you would guide me into all truth. So I'm asking that you put light. And here's the thing. The longer you track with him, it's layers. You're like, oh, I adjusted there. Then here comes another layer. I thought I forgot. No, you did forgive him. But I'm going to give you another layer of healing in this. Because he's not just trying to heal you. He's trying to heal your generational line. So I thought I was, you know, I thought I was seeing some stuff. And I go to this prayer ministry. April 2019. I'm laying in the hotel room, getting ready to go to my appointment. And the Lord shows me something from childhood. I thought it was one of the most kind of just commonplace things that happens as a kid. And the Lord said, right there, something came in. And it's affected you the rest of your whole life. So I go in, they got this team. They said something very much in line. I said, yeah, just get rid of that creepy crawler. Just go for it. When I show up those things, I don't like to hide anything. Here it is. You know, you can't tell anyone. So, you know, and I'm not saying that I'll be honest with you. I'm always honest, but I don't have willful sin in my life. You can look at my phone, all these things, but we're all on this process. I believe everyone should go once a year and probably get go to a good spirit-filled counselor too on a regular basis. So thank you for the one amen in the front. So do you know God is the one? Listen, keep this life principle. I know I've gone a while, but it's right. This is right. Some of you need to hear this. God is the one who created medicine. God is the one who created psychiatry. So all these things, if they're seen properly in the God perspective, can bring great wholeness to you. Do you know where the craziness started with some believers, spirit-filled believers, of not taking medicine? Started with John Alexander Dowie. And partially right back then because some of the things they were doing medically. But he would not pray for people if they took medicine and certain things. So I've had people go, you take medicine? I said, I take Allegra anytime I feel a cold come on. Yes, I do. Because I don't see any disagreement between, I'm not talking fill your life with pills or anything like that. That's not what I'm talking about. I don't see any contradiction between God's healing power. It's either through a pill or through laying on of hands. God created it. And we've seen over the last, especially in this country, when we give our authority away to the wrong people, how they can hijack a branch and then try and control people because of it. What was I saying? Oh, so I go into the inner healing and then I finish up the appointment I thought I was seeing. And I went from seeing like in what I can only describe as seeing in black and white. Now I'm like seeing in HD. It was like, it was so overwhelming what I began to see. I almost had to repent for God. I don't know if I can take any more of this. So what I'm saying to you today, you don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to have it all figured out. But what I'm saying to you is there's an invitation to consistently go deeper. I'll close with this last story. This is my third closing. John, we were on that prayer call. Might have been about 2 months ago. And you read this verse. And I've been reading it every day since then because I had an encounter with it. Psalm 25, verse 14. The Lord confines and those who fear him, and makes his covenant. It like when you read that night, it jumped on the inside of me, and another stirring to know God came. And if you want to know, one of the number one things prophetically that God is doing in the earth is that he's inviting people to know him. And from that place, you'll not just hear his voice, you'll know his voice. You'll not just know his voice, You'll know the wisdom on how to do everything he's called you to do. And you'll begin to encounter the Lord. I'm not saying you'll encounter him like I do, but you'll encounter. I'm telling you, there's something between the great cloud of witnesses right now, the church in heaven right now, that God is releasing graces that these saints carried so we could fully fulfill the prophetic words that they saw. Leanne, can you come up and play for just a moment? I want to just take a few moments.